You're listening to Linux News Log, separating the Linux and open source signal from the noise.
This podcast is brought to you by GoToAssist Express. Access, diagnose, and resolve your problems remotely. And by Carbonite. Back your system up. Use Carbonite online backup at carbonite.com. And also by audible.com. Get a free audiobook download at audibletrial.com/quicksurf. Over 85,000 titles to choose from for your iPod or MP3 player. Hey, everybody, how's it going? I'm your host, Adrian, coming to you almost live from lovely Phoenix, Arizona, here in Studio MC1 at Quicksurf Internet Media. Linux News Log is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. I'd like to encourage everybody to visit us online at tech.quicksurf.com. And I'm sorry. I'd like to encourage everybody to visit us online at linux.quicksurf.com. I don't know why I keep saying that other one. That's my other show that I'm actually going to be retiring here shortly. But please do visit us online. Subscribe to the show if you have not already done so. Feel free to download the episodes. You can shoot me an email, linux@quicksurf.com. I'm also on Google+. You can search for me there over at Google+. If you want an invite, shoot me an email, and I will certainly send an invite out to you. And you can also follow me online in addition to Google+, but over at twitter.com/Adrian_Bacon. And with that, let's go ahead and get into the news for this episode. Starting off with PC World in their business center, Oracle buys K-Splice for Linux zero downtime technology. Oracle has purchased K-Splice, a maker of technology that allows Linux administrators to apply important security updates without having to reboot the system. Oracle has announced this on Thursday. The terms were not disclosed. The zero downtime, and I'm using air quotes here, capabilities provided by K-Splice will bolster Oracle's unbreakable enterprise Linux kernel and become a standard feature in its Linux Premier support offering. So you'll be able to avoid the costly and disruptive system reboots that occur with monthly Linux kernel security updates, according to Oracle. So pretty interesting stuff. If you are an Oracle Linux user, this is certainly something to check out. Before we continue on with the rest of the stories for this episode, I do need to pay for my bandwidth. So let's go ahead and talk about our two sponsors for this episode, GoToAssist Express and Carbonite Online Backup. For GoToAssist Express, there are two things that IT professionals and their clients have in common. They want the job done right, and they want it done fast. Boy, do they ever. That's why I highly recommend GoToAssist Express by Citrix to anyone in IT. It puts clients at ease with its simple and secure remote support, and it puts you in a position to do what you do best: access, diagnose, and resolve. Try GoToAssist Express free for 30 days. Visit GoToAssist.com/podcast to see how you can deliver live tech support to anyone, anywhere with GoToAssist Express. And I highly recommend you try GoToAssist Express out. They are fantastic. How many of you have lost data? I certainly have. I have a multitude of clients that certainly have. In fact, I'm working on a computer right now for a client where the hard drive died and they don't have a backup. This is where Carbonite comes in. Carbonite Online Backup protects your pictures and your other computer files by automatically backing them up whenever you're online. We've all had the inevitable disaster. Your hard drive crashes, you had a virus, somebody stole your hard drive, etc. Carbonite makes it easy to get your backed up files back with just a few clicks. With Carbonite, you can access your backed up files privately from any computer or on your smartphone or iPad with a free app. And you get unlimited backup for your PC or Mac with anytime, anywhere access for only $59 a year. That's less than $5 a month. It's well worth it. It's easy to get started and it only takes a few minutes. You can start your 15-day free trial at Carbonite.com. No credit card is required. Use the offer code TPN and you'll get 2 free months if you decide to buy. That's Carbonite.com, and the offer code for 2 free months is TPN. N. And I highly recommend, if you don't already have a backup solution, to at least try Carbonite out. It'll save you a lot of heartache and heartburn, because it's not a matter of if you lose data, it's a matter of when. All right, let's go ahead and talk about our next story over at ZDNet. Mono, opensource.net for Android, Linux, and iOS lives on. And when Novell's new owner, Attachmade, announced that it was letting Miguel de Icaza, the founder and lead developer of Mono, go, I assumed Mono, the open source implementation of Microsoft's .NET, was a dead development platform walking. Even after Icaza launched his own company, Xamarin, to keep Mono going, I had little hopes Mono would survive. And I'm speaking this in terms of the blog author here, Stephen J. Von Nichols. Xamarin has convinced SUSE Attachmate's Linux branch to give its Mono intellectual Mono's intellectual property. In return, Xamarin will provide technical support to SUSE customers using Mono-based products and assume stewardship of the Mono open source community project. So, pretty interesting stuff. I've personally not used Mono, but I have done a fair amount of .NET development, so I assume it probably won't be much different than that. From Linux.com, Linux Foundation releases a new white paper on free and open source software systems compliance for suppliers. The Linux Foundation strives to provide relevant, useful guidance to organizations setting up their free and open source software compliance programs. Last month, we released a white paper titled A Five-Step Compliance Process for FOSS Identification and Review. And now they're releasing a freely available new white paper, FOSS Compliance Practices for Supplied Software. It examines compliance practices needed when software supplied by a third-party vendor is brought into the code baseline of a product to be distributed externally. So some of the things discussed are requirements a company should impose upon its suppliers to disclose FOSS and their deliverables and to provide what's needed to achieve compliance. It also discusses steps that a company can take to review and validate the FOSS disclosures made by its suppliers. In addition to that, they also address measures a company can undertake to assess its suppliers' compliance capabilities. So pretty interesting stuff. If you're into free and open source software, this is definitely something to check out, especially if you do software development. From PC World's Business Center, Oracle girds VirtualBox for enterprise use. This is very awesome. Oracle has updated its open source VirtualBox virtualization software to make it more suitable for wide-scale enterprise deployments. VirtualBox is part of Oracle's VDI, which is their virtual desktop interface solution. So a lot of the enhancements they've worked on were driven by the VDI team building a new product, said Wim Kokertz, Oracle Senior Vice President of Linux and Virtualization Engineering. The new version enjoys a number of new features that could make it more suitable for wide-scale deployment in organizations, such as the ability to clone virtual machines and the ability of the software to utilize more working memory on a server. This is not an endorsement. Oracle has not paid me for VirtualBox. I'm personally a heavy user of VirtualBox. It's awesome, and I highly recommend you check it out. From Infotech over at it.tmcnet.com, AY Key Solutions announces Linux Mint operating system sponsorship. Woohoo! The ongoing growth of the Linux Mint operating system will be supported with a generous new sponsorship plan from AYK Solutions. Development within the Linux community is further encouraged by AYK Solutions. An announcement in this regard has been made by the top company in the field of dedicated server hosting, shared hosting, and VPS hosting, none other than AY Key Solutions. So pretty awesome stuff. Getting a chunk of money to do stuff is always good. From the San Francisco Chronicle, Skybot Scheduler adds getting started tools. Skybot Software, a Help Systems LLC company, has announced the release of Skybot Scheduler 2.1, the newest version of its web-based enterprise scheduler and workload automation solution for Windows, Unix, and Linux, which is why we're talking about it. Skybot Scheduler 2.1 includes a new Getting Started section on the homepage to let users license the product, set up connected servers, create new jobs, configure their email server, and see the status of their enterprise from one page. The release also includes multiple enhancements to the installation process for AIX and Linux host and agent servers. So pretty nice. Check it out if you are in the need for such a piece of software. From Foronix, I'm including this because I thought it was interesting to at least discuss. There's an article here, Test Driving GNU Herd with Benchmarks Against Linux. The article starts off, last week there was a GNU Herd status update which generated a fair amount of attention as it stated that there are plans for a Debian GNU Herd release in conjunction with Debian Wheezy when it's out in late 2012 or early 2013. After being in development for more than 20 years, for those of you who have been around for a while, this is pretty exciting. For those of you who are not, it's just another kernel. The Herd is finally taking some shape. The Debian GNU Herd installer for Wheezy is even now working, which I tried out and ended up porting the Foronix test suite to GNU Herd. And this article is a brief look at Debian GNU Herd along with the first ever benchmarks of the GNU Herd Debian build against Debian GNU Linux. So now the main difference between these two, for those of you who are unfamiliar, is Debian GNU Linux is Debian with all of the GNU libraries and utilities and all that good stuff that makes up what people commonly refer to as Linux, plus the Linux kernel. And Debian GNU slash Herd is that same thing, but instead of the Linux kernel, it's the Herd kernel. And the Herd kernel has been around in development, not available very easily, but in development for, as the article points out, going on 20 years now. And it's kind of like the FreeBSD thing. You can also get Ubuntu with a FreeBSD kernel. Personally, I prefer FreeBSD for my home server. I know this is a Linux show. What can I say? But the article has quite a bit. It's fairly in depth. I do recommend that you check it out. A couple of things that I took away from it that kind of made me go, maybe this isn't quite ready for prime time yet. At least right now, the Wheezy development snapshots for the GNU Herd are only available for i386, since that's the only architecture that Herd supports. And it also does not support multi-threading, SMP, any of the awesome stuff. The hardware support is not really that great right now, seeing as this, the development of this was started when 386s ruled the roost and there was no such thing as SMP. But I have every confidence that they'll get it up to speed over time. It'll take a few years, but my thought process is once they actually get it to where, they can get it to a point where it's even in a position to gain traction, then we might actually be able to get somewhere with it. But anyway, I thought I would include this article. It's a pretty interesting read. By all means, check it out. That will do it for this edition of Linux News Log. As always, everything we've talked about is linked up in the show notes. You can find those online, linux.quickshrift.com. Do feel free to follow me over at twitter.com/Adrian_Bacon or over at Google Plus. You can search for me over there. And with that, I will see all of you on the next episode. I'll see you then. Bye.